that?
Well, the Lord has us in the book of Exodus as He's leading us on our journey to the promise. That's the name of the series that we began last week, Journey to the Promise. Now, the name Exodus means the way out. The way out. It reveals how God made a way out of bondage for His people, a way out of bondage and into freedom. Exodus points toward the deliverance that would be ultimately revealed to us through Jesus Christ. And a primary reason God gave us the book of Exodus is to show us how to exit the life of bondage and how to enter the life of blessing. That's what we're learning on this journey to the promise as we are studying the book of Exodus. It gives us vision to recognize and walk into the promises of God, into the life that God has for us, His people. Remember, we talked last week that if you are in Christ Jesus, if He's your Lord and Savior, you are God's people now. And the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus for you. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And how God handles, interacts, and leads His people, as He has done that, as we're looking in the book of Exodus, He will continue to lead, guide, direct, and care for us and protect us, His people, now, today, and forever. God's good. God's good. And He's showing us the Exodus, the way out of bondage and the way into blessing as we journey to our promise in Him. Exodus 13 reminded us last week that God leads, and He's the perfect leader. So while you open up your roadmap, as we called it last week, your Bible, to Exodus chapter 14, that's where we are this morning. As you're opening up to Exodus chapter 14, I want to catch us up on where we are in this journey to the promise. So here's what's been going on. The Israelites have been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. That's a long time. Some of us are sick for 4 days and we're like, bring me some deliverance, God. 400 years of slavery for the Israelites in Egypt. Moses was called by God to lead His people, God's people, out of slavery. God performed miracle upon miracle. They're called the plagues, but I look at them as miracles. The hand, the move, the power of God moving, and the result of those miracles was the deliverance of God's people. God's people were set free, but that's not all. God had a lot more for His people than just opening up the gates and saying, okay, now go live free. God then began to lead His people to a promise, to the promise, to the promised land. God's good. He has freedom for us, but He also has promises for us, and He's going to lead us out of slavery through Christ Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and into His promises, into His blessings, now and forever. God is good. Today we're going to learn this. We're going to learn that on our journey to the promise, fear is not our friend. That's the title of today's message. In this journey to the promise, fear is not our friend. Exodus 14, beginning in verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and to encamp near Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea and directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think, hey, the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And God says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. The Israelites did this. Notice, God is still leading His people. God is still directing the path of His people. He's taking them on their journey to the promise. But I want us to also notice this. God is leading and His people are following. You see, God is leading us on our journey to the promises that He has for us in Christ Jesus that are yes and amen. But we need to follow Him on the journey. We need to let Him lead and come into agreement with His leadership. When we follow God, then we get all that He has for us. We get His provision. When we follow God, we get His comfort, His protection. When we follow God, we get His strength. We get the results that He has. We get His blessings. We get His promises. When we follow God, we get Him. He is our hope, our deep desire, our great expectation. Jesus is. When we follow Him, we get Him. But if we veer off and we decide, hey, you know what? This following God thing gets really hard. And I think I've gone pretty far with Him. And I just have some things I want to do on my own. And we kind of go, woo, over here. Guess what? We're going to begin getting what we are walking into. We're going to begin getting what we can produce. We're going to begin getting our own results. And they're always going to be less than. They're always going to be less than. We're going to miss what God has for us. So it's important that we follow God. Let's continue discovering the promises found in God's perfect leadership. You know, last week we had four promises that the Lord showed us at the end of Exodus chapter 13. And hopefully you remember those. If you don't remember them, go back, look at your notes, listen to the message that's online at evidentlife.org. Plug for the website. Bam. We're going to also have four promises that we're going to see here at the beginning of Exodus chapter 14. Four things I believe the Lord really wants us to grasp and to begin to live in. Promise number one, as we move forward on our journey to the promise, as we remember that fear is not our friend. Promise number one, when God leads, He gives His people direction. God gives us direction. It says in verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites, tell my people to go here and to do this. So we notice that God shares His plan with His people. God told Moses the plan, and then He told Moses to tell all the people His plan. God is this way with us too. God has a plan for our lives. We talked about that last week. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God has plans for your life. He has plans for your family. He has plans for His church today and forever. He has amazing plans for us. And God shares those plans with us. He doesn't leave us in the dark. I know sometimes we wonder, man, I don't know God's plan. Where do I find God's plan? I want to hear His voice. I want to know what He's saying. I want to know which way to go. Well, sometimes we find God's plan right here in His Word. In fact, this is a very good place to start. It's a very good place to start. I don't know. It's just jumping to me. There's some song about that, I think, from some play or something. Sound of Music. Okay. God's Word. God will show us. God will share with us. God will reveal to us His plans. And He does that right here in His Word. Right here in the Bible. He shows us His plans. Other times we find God's Word when we sit quietly. And we listen to that still, small voice. We allow God, the Holy Spirit, to speak to us, to lead us, to guide us, to be God in our lives. We sit quietly, we rest, and we hear the voice of God. We're His sheep, and we can hear the voice and recognize the voice of our shepherd. That's a gift that you have from God as His child. That's a promise that you have from God. You can hear His voice and know His voice. But sometimes it requires being still and resting in Him and listening to Him. I spend hours every week with that focus in my life. I'm desperate to hear the voice of God. I'm scared to death to lead a church without it. I don't want to do it. Parents, be desperate to hear the voice of God as you lead your family. Husbands, as you lead your wives. sit with the Lord. Open His Word. Listen to what He has to say. Because He's sharing His plan with us. He truly is. What a blessing. He shares His plan with us. Jesus said this. It's found in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek. Seek. God, what are you saying? I need to know, God. I need to know. Seek," Jesus says, "and you will find. Knock, and the door, the understanding, the direction will be open to you." Everyone, He said, everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who asks knows. Everyone who knocks, the door will be open. I'm paraphrasing. I'm just going up because I'm so excited. Here's the deal. Everyone, did you hear what Jesus says? Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks, they find. To him who knocks, the door will be open. Everyone, every child of God, every follower of Christ, God has plans for you, and He wants you to know what they are. And they're plans to prosper you, to give you hope in the future, and to be part of His kingdom, to be part of bringing people out of darkness, to be part of that great commission of changing nations for His glory. These are the plans of God that we find, the promises of God that we find in His Word. So promise number one, when God leads, He gives His people direction. Promise number two this morning in Exodus 14, we find that when God leads, the enemy will attack. Woohoo! Come on! We're excited! Yeah! That's a promise! Promises of God! Oh, verse 5. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them. And they said, "What have we done? We've let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The devil doesn't want God's people living in the promises of God. He doesn't. John 10:10, the thief comes to do what? The devil comes, what? Is it? Kill and destroy. That's what the devil wants for us. He doesn't want us walking in the promises. He wants to steal the promises, to kill them, to destroy the promises of God in our lives. The devil wants us to remain in slavery. He wants you bound up in sin. And he wants you to think that you're always going to be bound up in sin. And that's not true. Read the Word of God. Look at the promises of God. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Free indeed. We do not have to settle for that junk anymore. We don't. The devil wants us living in darkness, lost. He wants us controlled by the busyness of life. Now I'm getting personal with some of you on that one. Because that's an easy one to fall into and justify. Well, life is busy, and I got a lot of things to do. Anyway, he wants us separated from God. He doesn't want us to sit with God for hours at a time and listen to Him, because he knows if he keeps us busy, he can keep us from sitting with God and listening and hearing the amazing things of God. And walking in those. If he can keep us in the dark on the plans that God has for your life, then he will keep you from the plans God has for your life. And he'll keep you running around, barely staying up with the busy schedule that you have. Barely making it. Always huffing and puffing. Always gasping for air. That's the plan of the devil for your life. The plan of God for your life is come away with me. Come away with me. I've got some exciting things I want to talk to you about. I've got some things I want to show you. That's God's plan for your life. Don't let the busyness of life rob you from God's plans and His promises for your life. Don't. I did that for too long in my life. Too long. I allowed the enemy to rob me of that. You want to know what my goal right now in my life is? My goal in my life is I want to redo my schedule because I want more time sitting in the presence of God and listening to Him. That's my goal. How can I reorganize my life to get more time with Him? That's my goal. What can I get rid of? What can we change in my life? So the enemy, though, will attack, because that's what he does. The enemy will come after us, and God will allow this to happen. What? I'm about to say something else. It's about to upset you, maybe. God may even cause this to happen. He may even cause the enemy to attack you. Say what? Verse 8. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Why? It's because he didn't like him? The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, the beloved children of God, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. Wow. Can we trust God's leadership? Is he perfect? Is he good? Does he love you? Does he care for you? Is he watching over you? Amen. Amen. He can be trusted in all things and in all time. Look at this. He's setting you up for victory. He really is. I know there are times in your life, and some of us are going through times right now, we're like, okay, God, how in the world are you setting me up for victory right now? It feels like, you know, I'm just getting set up for destruction. The enemy's coming in hard on me, just pounding on me. But God is setting us up for victory. We're going to keep reading in Exodus here, and we're going to discover that. But I want you to know right now, today, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter if the enemy's attacking and you feel like you're hemmed in and you have no way out, you do. His name is Jesus. It's the grace of Jesus Christ. And he is setting you up for victory. He's setting you up to be part of something amazing that will glorify him. He is. As a side note, I think it's amazing that God will use someone who's against him to accomplish his plans and to display his glory. You got this guy named Pharaoh. See, Pharaoh already made the decision. He already decided that I'm not going to follow God. In fact, I'm going to say that I'm God. I'm God. Everybody bow down to me. I'm not going to bow down to God. Everybody's going to bow down to me. I'm God here. Pharaoh already made the decision to reject the Lord. But even in that, God is able to take a man like that and use him for his purposes, to bless his people ultimately, to display his power and his victory, as we're about ready to see as we continue on in this study on our journey to the promise. So just remember that as we look around the world and as we see, how in the world is that person in charge? Why is that person or that group or why are they able to advance? Why do they seem to be blessed or have power? God is able to use everything and all things for his glory, and he's working it all together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. That's the truth and the promises that we have in Christ Jesus that are yes and amen for us in him. So again, sometimes God will direct us to a place that seems dangerous, where we feel trapped, where it looks like there's no way of escape. Sometimes God will even allow the enemy to chase us down. But how are we going to react to that? Let's look at how the Israelites reacted to that situation. To do that, we're going to look at promise number 3 this morning. When God leads, our faith will be tested. I know you think all these promises should be, you know, on the surface, good, happy feelers. You know what I'm saying? But these are promises. Let's embrace them. When God leads, our faith will be tested. Verse 9. The Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pihahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. Verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. The Israelites were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. What happened? Fear began to overtake the people of God when they were witnessing the circumstances of their life. What was happening? When they saw the enemy coming in strong, coming in with heavy artillery, coming in to crush them, fear took over. And it resulted in this response. Verse 11. They said, the people of God said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Now we can be real and look at this. This was a faith tester. This was a mighty army, completely armed, coming after them. It was a faith tester. But it became an opportunity to either respond in faith or to allow fear to rise up. And unfortunately, on that day, God's people chose fear. They chose fear. Now, we look at this today with hindsight, 20/20 vision, all that kind of stuff. And we look back at this and we go, come on, these people, this is crazy talk. How could they ever think this way? How could the people of God ever doubt God? I mean, he just did all of these miracles and got them released from 400 years of slavery. I mean, God had already shown himself powerful. How could they ever be doubting God? How could they ever allow fear now to control them? What's wrong with these people? Why would God's chosen people ever want to remain or go back when God had the promised land waiting for them? Why? Because fear is not our friend. But it's powerful. But it's not our friend. Faith propels us toward the promise. Fear will send us into retreat. Faith will cause us to rise up and to run with God into all that he has. Fear will cause us to cower and crawl away from what God has for us. Fear is not our friend. It's not our friend. Fear will even cause us to want to go backward into bondage and into slavery. Backward in our lives. Back to the things of the past. Back to the things that were destroying our lives. Fear will cause us to do that. Fear is not our friend. As a pastor, I sometimes feel like Moses. By no means am I saying I am Moses or I'm like him. I just feel like him. You know what I'm saying? All right, let's get that straight. All right. Let my people go. Anyway, I do though. I feel like Moses. I mean, the Lord gives direction and he compels me to lead the church into new seasons, in different directions. We're leading the church right now into having two services because we want to make sure we make room for other people. Because God wants more people to belong into his family and connected into his family. And so we're making choices. We're going into areas that maybe aren't familiar. But God has greater things for us. He's calling us to go from glory to glory, to move forward. But even in the process of leading this way, sometimes I'll even experience that subtle pushback. You know, pastor, we like where we are. Things are good. It's familiar. I remember the stuff we used to do. Maybe we ought to go back to that instead of moving forward in this other stuff. And it's kind of scary. The unknown is scary. And are you sure we want to do that? We're comfortable. We're comfortable. We like the way things are, or we like the way things were. Yet God is leading. God's leading. And like Moses, I'm compelled to tell you that God is leading. And he's taking us from glory to glory. You see, the past glory was good. It was glorious, right? It was good. But that's the past glory. And we can remember that and thank God for that. And the present glory that we're experiencing, even as we hear the testimony from Jimmy, that he was healed this morning and he's walking without pain this morning. That's the glory of God being released in his church today, and we thank God for his glory today. But God has new glory, future glory for us to walk in. We talked weeks ago about the flow of God and how God wants to continue to flow His Spirit, His power, His presence, His glory into our lives, but He wants to flow it through our lives. He doesn't want it to be stagnant. He doesn't call you or the church to be the stagnant church, but to be the church that allows the flow of God to flow from glory to glory to glory. And so that's what God is doing with His people, the Israelites here in Exodus. He's flowing in them and through them, taking them from glory to glory. And He's showing Himself strong and good because He loves His people. But the reality remains. The journey can be difficult. Wow, I didn't get a single amen. The journey can be difficult. It can even be scary. But nevertheless, if God is leading, it's all going to be good. The enemy wants us to bail on God. The enemy wants you personally to bail on God. When the going gets tough, the devil wants you to get going, get running away from God. The devil wants you to choose fear and to walk in fear and to make it your friend because he wants to keep you away from God and His promises. But I want us to quote this together, and we're going to say this together. It's Hebrews 10:39. So we're going to say the scripture together. Are you ready? But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Amen? Amen. Let's say it again now that we know what we're saying. If you believe this, if you're ready to move forward in faith with God in your life, in your family, with the calling God has on your life, with what God's doing in and through this church even, let's just say this together in faith, knowing that it is God. That's the only way we can say this, is Christ in us. But let's say it again. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Amen. Amen. When God leads, fear is not our friend. When God's people are focused on the enemy, they became afraid. When God's people became afraid, they began to doubt God. When they began to doubt God, they began to look back to returning into slavery. Do you see the progression? What can happen? So we let God lead. We trust Him. Because fear is not our friend. The enemy is going to come. That's a promise. The enemy is going to come. The enemy will get close. The enemy will even attack. How many of you can say, yes, I know that. The enemy will even attack. He will. Okay. But let's look at promise number 4. Everybody's been waiting for this one. Please. Promise number 4. When God leads, He will deal with our enemies. Who's going to deal with our enemies? God's going to deal with our enemies when we let Him lead. When we willingly and joyfully follow His lead, God will deal with our enemies. Verse 13, Moses answered the people in fear, saying they wanted to go back into slavery. Remember those people, right? He answered them and he said to them, do not be afraid. In other words, he's saying, reject fear. It's not your friend. Fear is not your friend. Reject it. Don't be afraid, people. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. Whew. That's a statement of faith right there by Moses, who's leading the people. You will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. You know, we talked about this earlier as we were praying for healing. The Lord will fight for you and your healing. The Lord will destroy the enemy that's coming after you right now, even physically in your body. You need only to be still, to receive, to follow Him, to trust Him. to take what he has for you. He's your deliverer, your redeemer, your healer, your friend. Trust God. Trust God. I love Psalm 46, 10 and 11. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us, church. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And then he says, Selah. He's saying, now stop and think about that truth. Stop and live out of that reality and that promise. So we notice the promise. God will deal with the enemy. The people began to doubt the promises of God. They began to forget about what he'd already done. That's what fear will do. Fear will cause us to begin to doubt God and actually forget about the good things he's already done. If you're in Christ Jesus, the Lord has done the good thing for you. He's justified you in Christ Jesus. He's made you new. He's given you new life. He's taken you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life. You once were an orphan. You're no longer an orphan. You're a child of God now. The good things that God has done, the big things, the eternal things that God has done, let's never forget. Let's always stand in that reality of our identity in Christ Jesus. Not our identity, our former identity of slaves in bondage to sin, lost, orphans, but stand in the reality of our identity in Christ Jesus and reject fear. For it's not who we are. It's not our portion. Jesus, he's our portion. He's all we need. Moses, the leader, reminded the people of a promise that God will deal with our enemies. And I want to remind us as God's people that God will deal with our enemies. He will deal with your enemy. Follow God. Let him lead you through this season of attack. Let him lead you through this season that's scary. Through this season that's difficult. Let him lead you through it because he has victory for you. You be still in him. You trust in him. You sit and listen and allow him to give you his heart and his mind and his plans for your life. And walk in faith. He leads. We follow. We follow. On our journey to the promise, God leads. And sometimes God will lead us into that dangerous place where we feel trapped, where there feels like there's no escape. Sometimes God will even allow the enemy to catch up to us. But rest assured, God is for us. He's for you. And victory is ours because the battle is the Lord's. It's in times like this when we find ourselves in those difficult situations where we need to make sure that we're not a friend of fear, but we remind ourselves that we are a friend of God. Fear is not our friend. God is our friend. God is our friend. We can look with great anticipation to the big things he's about to do. In fact, next week as we continue on the journey to the promise, we're going to see that in the midst of all this danger, in this scary situation, God ends up showing up. You guys know the story. God shows up and he does some big things for his people. It looked hopeless. It looked like it was over, but then God shows up. Victory comes, deliverance comes, and I can't give any more away because I got to preach next week and I can't do it right now. But big things, God shows up and big things happen for the people of God. And I want to remind us of this. God shows up in our lives too at just the right time. At just the right time, in just the right way, and he does big things for us Because he loves us. Because he's for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Let's stand up, church. Amen. God is for us. God is for us. God is for us. I just want to invite the altar ministry teams to come up front. And as they're coming up front, I'd like to put that passage from Hebrews 10 back up on the screen. And I want us just to raise our hands to heaven. Raise our hands to the Lord. And in faith and confidence in God, as children of God, as God's people, let's just declare this once again together. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Amen. 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 Amen.